This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Linda Lastoka. She's a geophysicist at the National Earthquake Information Center at the U.S. Geological Survey. Now, we've obviously asked her to join us today to talk about the magnitude 8.9 earthquake that struck off the coast of Japan, also triggering a major tsunami that struck Japan and had the U.S. on alert in Hawaii and along much of the West Coast. And Linda, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
What do we know about the quake, the exact location, and how deep this was in the Earth's crust?
This was a rather shallow quake for a subduction zone. The location was about 230 miles from Tokyo, Japan. I think that's a good spot for people. It was about 15 miles deep, and this was a thrust fault. And when there is an offshore thrust fault, this is when there is a danger of a tsunami.
And so the fact that it was relatively shallow, that contributes to the severity of the tsunami, correct?
Yes, it does. In general, shallow earthquakes could cause more shaking and more destruction. But since this is offshore, the problem here or the threat here was the tsunami instead of the shaking.
One of your colleagues at the USGS told the Associated Press that the quake ruptured a patch of the Earth's crust 150 miles long and 50 miles across. Is that huge? Is that typical? How would you describe that?
That is huge. That's how this quake was the fifth largest in recorded history. So this is a very large rupture zone. And so this is very unusual, and there hasn't been many quakes this large.
As far as the tsunami, at the point of the earthquake, obviously, if it was off the east coast of Japan, it went that way. We also saw another wave going the other way. What triggered the massive wave towards the west and, I guess, a smaller wave towards the east?
Well, what happens is that it's a spreading from the source of the earthquake. So the wave that hit the coast of Japan is essentially from the same event. It just, Japan was much closer, and so this wave hit within minutes. But meanwhile, the one that traveled across the Pacific to the western U.S. and Hawaii had to travel for hours before it reached land there.
And so it clearly dissipated over time.
Yeah, it dissipates over time, and it gives people more time to prepare and to evacuate these areas.
We obviously saw the earthquake, I guess, a couple of weeks ago in Christchurch, New Zealand. Obviously, it's in a very different part of the Pacific, but is there any connection whatsoever?
You know, this is something people are still studying. The Earth is a dynamic system. There's plates basically floating on the Earth, so some kind of stress release in one area could perhaps cause some buildup in another distant area part of the Earth, but this is just very not well understood at this point.
Is there a major fault line where this earthquake occurred?
Yes, this is the fault between where the North American plate, which seems a little funny, but Japan is on the North American plate, and the Pacific plate come together.
So the fact that we're seeing stories that they had feared a big one would seem to be based on that then, right?
Yes, this area has had historically large earthquakes, and so it's a matter. People know that earthquakes probably will occur on these areas, but just not exactly when and how large.
We saw also, of course, I guess it was around this time last year, maybe a little bit earlier, when the major Chilean quake hit, that there were tsunami alerts going on in Hawaii, as we saw today. You mentioned the dissipation over time. Is it basically going to be the case that if the quake occurs that far away, the tsunami on a place like Hawaii, that many hundreds or even thousands of miles away, will not be that severe? Or is that a naive way to look at it,
no,
given what could happen?
I think your greatest risk is that if there's a large quake near the shore, near a populated shore, that area has a higher risk. And then outside of that, the ocean floor is very complicated, topography, and depending on how large it was and exactly the mechanisms of the fault rupture, how it would propagate is just hard to say.
We're talking with Linda Lastoka of the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center. And we've obviously heard, I guess we should expect, a number of pretty sizable aftershocks here. Anything you've learned from those that you find particularly interesting?
No, there's already been a magnitude 7 aftershock, which by itself is a significant earthquake. And then there has been over 70 magnitude 5s, and then this was as of this morning, and then over 15 magnitude 6, and these numbers will just go up over the next few days. So people could just expect it will take weeks to months for this area to return to its kind of baseline level of seismicity.
And anything else you'll look for in the data over the next few weeks to glean more out of this, or do you pretty much have a handle on what happened here?
Well, I mean, we can only learn from what happened. So our scientists here and at other institutions will certainly take this and do kinds of modeling and so that they could learn what the mechanisms really were like in this area, which helps with engineering concerns and just helps people be prepared to what the risks are in an area.
Given the fact that this major fault line has now had this quake, does that make it pretty likely that we won't see another one here for quite a while, or is that not the right conclusion?
It's just hard to say. It's a complicated system, so we just don't know at this point.
Very interesting. Linda, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You bet. Linda Lastoka is a geophysicist at the U.S. Geological Survey's National Earthquake Information Center. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.